goals in mind. We still all want to win, and you know, it's not going to change how we play and how we work. So I think it doesn't wear on us, but you know, it obviously frustrates us.
Kenyon Oblad frustrates him. Yeah, I think it frustrates everyone that's watching. Good Sunday morning to you. Just after 8 o'clock, and you are listening to Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday, live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. The we includes co-host Caleb Herring, the last UNLV quarterback to lead the Rebels to a bowl game. And he is host of the Tony Sanchez Show on Wednesday nights, including he does the color commentary for UNLV football. You could have heard him last night on our sister station, ESPN, The Leader. Also here, producer Chris Magnum Chapman, who among several other responsibilities, moonlights as the locker room reporter for Vegas Golden Knights Radio here on Fox Sports Radio. And joining us today in studio, Damon Gravito, I hope I said that right, Buffalo Wild Wings Blazing Challenge winner. And he also won the opportunity, him and a guest of his, to film today's show on Facebook Live. I don't know if that's considered winning or not.
But it's an honor. It is truly an honor to be able to film what happens here at the Fox Sports studio.
I agree.
On Sunday morning. It is a distinct honor.
A distinct honor.
We all feel very special.
Oh, I do feel
special. Everyone gets to see why the majority of us were born with faces for the radio.
Not me. I'm sorry. I'm not going to stand on that podium with you there, Brian. He's not alone.
Caleb's not dying on that hill, man.
He's not there.
You can die on that hill.
Hey, listen, I do appreciate their help in studio, and you'll hear from him in a minute. Listen, the show is also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live, thanks to Damien and his buddy. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. And since the show is live, we keep the phone lines open. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap, thanks to title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com on tap. 33 swings and misses. The Vegas Golden Knights beat the San Jose Sharks, I should say, three times in 1 week, and two of them counted. UNLV hasn't beaten anyone since August. I know Caleb is waiting to chime in on that one, and Khalil Mack is back in Oakland. No, he's not playing for the Raiders. We'll talk about that. And Michael Babcock of TMZ Sports is going to be on the line talking Conor McGregor and, believe it or not, Antonio Brown. Wow, that's a unique subject for this show. Plus baseball playoffs and, of course, the picks of the week. Magnum is finally proud to get on the line about his picks of the week. Listen, don't forget, if you are looking to buy or refi, the Cardinal Financial Company should be your first choice. Check out cardinalfinancial.com today.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why.
It is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings 215 and Montecito Crossing Plaza, a Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. They've got two happy hours a day. We are there every Monday night hosting Monday night football parties, and as a matter of fact, in November we're going to be there for a Vegas Golden Knights watch party. Should be pretty cool. And also, one of the things that's blazing, and we'll say hello to our guest in studio first, Caleb. We've got here Damian Gravito. He did the Blazing Challenges. You see, we are wearing proudly our Blazing Challenge shirts.
Show off.
See, show them right here. These are our shirts. His might be a little cooler than mine, but
yeah, it is a lot cooler.
Well, mine's old-fashioned. I won mine like 5 years ago. I would never, ever.
You know what? The spices are different now.
Brother,
they found different formulas to make these wings even hotter. So 5 years ago, it's almost like the statute of limitations is up.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I know you're right. Because when I saw him, he didn't have a drop of hair on his face before the challenge. Look at him now. Got a full-blown beard.
Burned his facial hair.
I mean, Damien, you did it in like 4 minutes and 30 seconds. I did it in 5 minutes and 29 seconds. I had 31 seconds to spare. I had snot blowing everywhere. Brother, I was sick. I told you, when I did the Blazing Challenge, some nice lady comes up to me. She was probably like 65, 70 years old. And she hands me this little white pill. She goes, you're going to need need this. And I said, you're not trying to roofie me, are you?
Yeah.
And she got a good smile on her face. All I know is that pill kept me going till about 2 in the morning, and then I was done for 3 days.
So she gave you Viagra?
I don't know why. I don't Viagra for my stomach, maybe. All I know is it helped me out a great deal, and I kept going. But, Damien, how you doing, man? Welcome to Out of Line. Pretty cool, huh?
Good morning. Thanks for having me over.
Oh, man, we're happy to have you on. And the Blazing Challenge, we offered up what I said is the first person to take the Blazing Challenge. You weren't there that night, Caleb, but I said the first person that could do the Blazing Challenge would you got someone online. I think he's got Dave online from Buffalo Wild Wings. Bring him up. We'll talk about this in a minute. Dave Musaw, who is the general manager at Buffalo Wild Wings. I know part of Blazing, which we are going to say, is the person who actually, one of the very first sponsors of this show back in 2013 was Buffalo Wild Wings at the Montecito Crossing Plaza, and the person that made that happen for us was general manager Lee Lund. Today, after I don't know how many years, I'll get that from Dave, but today is her last day. She is leaving Buffalo Wild Wings. Dave is taking over as the GM there, and I want to send a tremendous farewell. You want to talk about somebody blazing, brother. Lee Lund is one blazing human being. She has been nothing but gracious and kind to this show, sponsoring us for all this year. The sponsorship continues because of her, even after her departure. And what's up, Dave? You're driving to Cali, right?
Yeah, I'm driving to Cali, man. I'm driving here with the kids. We've got a race today, so we're heading over to Cal Speed in Fontana, California. So we're about 30 minutes away, so I'll get these kids ripping in these go-karts here in a few minutes. So.
Well, you know, real quickly, before you say goodbye to Lee, by the way, when they say we've got a race, he has a son, I think he's 8 or 9, turning 9, that races these mini carts, Caleb. They get up to 60 miles an hour.
I've heard of
this.
And
he's 8 or 9 years old. And the kid,
your son is my new hero. Yeah. He's probably a better driver than I am. Those things are awesome.
One thing I know, if you're 8 years old and you're driving a go-kart 60 miles an hour, you've got some cojones.
He does.
I mean, my God in heaven. You could play running back in the NFL.
Yeah, he could.
So talk to me, man. Lee's last day today, man. I mean, I know what she's meant for you, being a mentor there, getting you prepared for your new responsibility. But man, we definitely want to wish her a farewell. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's a cornerstone there, man. It's going to be tough to see her go. She's been there for over 8 years as a GM, so. She's a staple there, and if you get a chance to head in there, she'll be there later this afternoon and tonight. So if you get a chance to go up there, definitely say bye to her and wish her well in her journeys away from Buffalo Wild Wings. But she's been great to me. She's taught me a lot. I've been in this for a long time, but she knows a lot. She's hopefully got some big shoes to fill, and I'm excited to do it. But, yeah, we're going to miss her. The whole team up there is going to miss her a lot. So.
Absolutely.
Hey, and congrats to your Blazing winners there, man. That's a hell of a thing. I haven't done it yet. I'm too chicken to do the Blazing Challenge, and I'm the GM of the building. So congratulations to those guys that did it.
I appreciate it.
You know what was crazy, Dave, before I let you go? Damien doing this challenge, and Caleb, at Mags, he sat there and just nonchalantly ate the wings. Like, I'm forcing him down. I got snot going everywhere. I'm sweating my ass off. And this kid is just nonchalantly sucking the meat off the bones and does it in like 4.5 minutes. I mean, maybe you need to make the sauce hotter. I don't know. This kid, well, he did grow a beard afterwards. So, I mean, that.
Tell him if he wants to do it again, I can crank that up a little bit more for him.
I like it.
We'll see what he's got. Yeah, well,
you guys need to do to him what you did to me when I did that challenge years ago. I mean, mine came out like soup.
The wings are made for men, Brian. That's why. They're made for men.
Oh, here we go. Hey, Dave, drive safely. We'll let you head up there. Great luck to you and your son in the race today. And I know I'll be seeing you tomorrow night. Or are you going to be back tomorrow or you won't?
No, I open tomorrow morning, so I got a long day, man. We got a quick turnaround. One last thing before you go. When you guys come in today, Team Up for Kids, it's a big promotion. We're doing it all the Buffalo Wild Wings. It helps kids play sports. Please donate something. Round up your change. Give a buck. If you do $5, we'll give you a free hatch queso chili dip or a hatch queso dip. You can get it same day, but please help out the kids with that. We're doing it for the entire month of October.
That's a
great show, Brian. I appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you. Appreciate you and everything that B-Dubs has done for me and this show over the years. And definitely Lee Lund, man, going to be greatly missed. She has just been an awesome person, awesome for the show. And we've grown leaps and bounds because of Buffalo Wild Wings and her. You can't ask for a better sponsor than Buffalo Wild Wings. You know what? If you're doing a sports show, I mean, is there anyone better?
No, I don't think so. And they have some great commercials now coming out, too. They're my favorite commercials on TV right now.
And you may be voicing the next one for the show,
too.
The
Man Cave commercial. I about cried laughing the first time. I was, your man cave is not a man cave. It's a lie. It's a basement in your wife's house. That's, oh my goodness. If that doesn't describe the man cave perfectly, like, women have manipulated us into feeling like our man cave is something that belongs to us. It's not.
It's not, you know.
It's a loaned room that we pay the rent for, and we get sent down there to get out of her way.
I love that, Caleb, and I'm going to give you some advice because you're a young, you know, you guys have been a couple for a little while now.
Yeah.
But a guy that was married for 25 years, and I will say that there's one thing. I used to always say this, that I wear the pants in this family.
No.
Because she says that I do. And when she says to take them off, you wouldn't believe how quick they hit the ground. All right? There's the advice. Not bad, right?
There's no such thing as male ego when you're married.
Right. That's
that goes
right.
out of the window. Right. Humble yourself. You're married now.
Two words, and Caleb knows them already. Yes, dear. That's it. That's simple, right? It's that simple.
It's very simple.
Listen quick with Blazin'. I did want to get into some things. How about yesterday? I don't know, Mags, if you saw the baseball playoffs at all, you got a chance to catch the highlights. I know we were running all day today with all these different sporting events, but I will tell you what, after the performance Justin Verlander had in Game 1, for the Houston Astros, you didn't think that it was going to get followed up that well by Gerrit Cole. He's had such a tremendous season that, you know, you just thought maybe he'll be like Clayton Kershaw or something like that. No, man. Gerrit Cole, how about 33 swings and misses? It's the most by any pitcher in a playoff game in the last 15 years. And check out his season this year. 326 strikeouts, first in the American League. 2.5 ERA, first in the American League. 20 wins, second in the American League. And his whip, 0.89, which is also second in the American League. And the funny thing is, you know who's going to win the Cy Young Award? It's going to be him or Verlander, one of the Houston Astros.
Gerrit Cole hasn't lost a game since
July.
Yeah, since like 4th of July. So, you know, it's no surprise that he shut down the Rays. And, you know, the Astros made it a little interesting, right? Osuna in the ninth inning there, got into a little bit of trouble, but I think for the most part, I mean, the Astros look like the best team, and hopefully when the Yankees dispatch the Twins, the Astros humiliate the Yankees once again, because everybody can agree that the Yankees are easily the most hateable team in all of baseball.
Yes.
The Astros and the Yankees are on a collision course. I mean, is going to be a really fun, some of the best starting pitching in baseball against the New York Yankees, one of the most powerful sluggers, you know, in the game today. It's going
to
be cool.
Did you happen to see the guy who started for the Twins yesterday, when he was in the minors, he was an Uber driver to make extra money. Yankee fans were mocking him for being an Uber driver. It's like, don't you have any class?
Caleb drives Uber.
How do you then, okay, because I'm sure in today's era, like 97% of the fans that go to sporting events are going to Uber or Lyft home. How do you mock an Uber driver or a former Uber driver and then expect to, with any shred of human decency, get into an Uber and ride home? Like, if I was an
it's
Uber
shameless,
driver,
isn't it?
I would protest Yankee Stadium. Yeah. I'm not picking anybody. I'm declining that pickup.
You can walk
home. I'm not
going to
go pick. And I'm taxing the hell out of them. Well, I'm taxing them. You're drunk. Sons of how could you mock Uber? Thank goodness for Uber. They've saved me from many a DUI.
Hey, yeah,
you
know me what? Too.
Seriously. Goodness, how could you mock? They do God's work. Uber drivers.
They do.
My goodness.
Give the Lyft driver some credit too. But
they don't get paid nearly enough, right?
Uber's more convenient.
No, I don't think they get paid enough.
No, they should get a higher percentage.
And as y'all know, I'm going to leave it at this and move on to Blazin'. But you know, I did rear end an Uber one time.
Oh,
yeah, sure. Past year, I did. I rear ended one, and of course, all of them had medical claims, of course, every one of them. I want to finish up, Blazin'. One of the other things I did want to say about Gerrit Cole, which is pretty cool, he's one of only four pitchers to have 15 KOs and zero runs allowed in a single playoff game. The other three, in 2000, Roger Clemens did it in the ALCS. In 1998, Kevin Brown did it in the NLDS. And in 1968, I know this was done against the Detroit Tigers, Bob Gibson did it in the World Series in 68. It is a feat not often accomplished. This kid is the real deal, and he is an awful lot of fun to watch. A pitch. And yesterday, when you see a pitcher's duel, you know, usually you think of a boring baseball game. But when guys just literally could not catch up with what he was throwing. And the thing is, Caleb, it wasn't just the fastball. There was like five of those strikeouts were sliders, five of them were curveballs, five of them were fastballs. A mix of all three of his top pitches got those 15 strikeouts. That is pretty damn cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool. And that's your blade. That's your final one for the.
Well, that's going to be Blazin'. I just want one of the other things I wanted to say is Blazin' tomorrow night's a Monday night football game. Who would have thought 2 years ago if I would have told you one of the premier Monday night games is going to be the Cleveland Browns against the San Francisco 49ers, and yet Monday night, that's what we've got going on tomorrow. And tell me you're not kind of interested and excited to watch that game.
I'm
going to
tell you this, and I hope you don't hate me
for it. Oh, no.
I'm not kind of interested in that game.
Better have something really good going on. I mean,
a life. Okay. No, I'm not gonna jump on. I mean, everybody did, and I think I'm not gonna get overexcited about Cleveland right now. There's something about watching them and Baker Mayfield and OBJ and like that whole combination of like Hollywood is just not to me cool.
It's bothering you.
It just bugs me.
I'm still not buying
the
hype.
I'm not. I mean. Show me something.
Last week was a good win.
That was
good win.
So what?
They
should have beaten the Bears, right? Not the Bears, the Rams.
The Rams.
They choked.
And the Rams are proving not to be as good of a team as
exactly.
They were last year.
They beat the Jets.
Ooh.
Oh, my. Who has
Wow. World beaters, right?
Yeah. Boise can beat the Jets.
They were beaten in game one. they were crushed in week one by Tennessee.
Yeah, who's not panning out again. Tennessee is not who we thought
they were. I wasn't buying the hype on them going into the season.
I'm still not
buying it.
And it's not even. It doesn't feel right because it's not. That's not what I expect from Cleveland. I expect, like, hard nose.
All right, so
like,
Cleveland's not blazing. Let's carry
on. Yeah,
so, who's
okay,
blazing?
So,
who's
blazing?
Blazing Jimmy, now, if you want to go blazing, Jimmy Garoppolo's been
Jimmy
blazing.
Jimmy Garoppolo's been good.
So is Gardner Minshew. Does that mean the future of the
Gardner Minshew. He's the future.
You know
that
what?
Mustache is immaculate.
I would rather have him than Luke Falk.
Ooh. That's true.
I can't argue with
that.
He's been impressing me, and I'll tell you what, that mustache is not easy to grow. And also, he is the only guy in America that wears jorts. So you got to give the guy some credit.
Homemade
right?
jorts at that.
Homemade jorts. Some of the ugliest things next to Jim Harbaugh's pants in Michigan. Those are the ugliest things I've seen.
He's living the goat life right now. You can do stuff like that.
What's Blazin', brother?
So for me, Blazin', okay, postseason baseball. October is just the best month. In the year for me, not only because the weather's the best in Vegas that it's ever going to be. Like, give me Vegas in October over anywhere. Come at me, bro. But the sports world is going crazy.
I'll take Hawaii,
VGK
okay.
started. The season started. You got postseason baseball getting underway. College football and NFL season are in the meat of their schedule now. It's getting to that time of year. But I'm going to do this, and come at me for it. But what's blazing right now as a Laker fan is the Lakers. And it's a preseason game, game one, but I'm going to say they are on fire because of what I see in the future for this Laker
organization. My co-host just turned into Homer Simpson.
Stop it. Stop it.
Homer Simpson.
You stop it
right now.
Homer Herring.
Leave me alone.
There we go.
The Lakers are blazing. Anthony Davis.
Blazing. Right there, the ninth.
No.
Is there a ninth seed in the playoffs, Megs?
No, I'm going to start this right now. The Lakers right now are going to win a championship.
What?
The Lakers are going to be the
preseason.
You don't raise banners for preseason.
I'm
telling you.
It got so deep all of a sudden I'm starting to swim.
They're blazing right now. The preseason got started. The first game for the Lakers, and they look great.
I'll tell you what.
22 points.
I would be shocked if the Lakers even played past the first round of the playoffs.
Are you kidding me?
All right, well, this is a conversation.
They're not even the best team in their
Max,
own building.
Give me your blaze, and then we can go on all day with this. We got to care. Go get forward. Because I know if we start going with the Lakers with him, it's going to be terrible.
All right,
I am shocked.
On this date, 1993, so what was that, 26 years ago?
Yeah.
The GOAT announced his first retirement from professional basketball. There's no debate Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player to ever walk the planet.
I won't debate
it. All right.
Actually, I guess it is debatable, but
decent human being, but okay.
Yeah, we'll see. gotta love a guy who can't pick a side, right? Michael Jordan announced his retirement the first time on this date, October 6, 1993.
Boy, do I wish he would have stayed retired.
Well, I think there's probably some people in Utah who are wishing the same thing.
I'm telling you. As a Pistons fan, you can only imagine. Although it was nice. Well, there was really nice beating the hell out of them for a couple Eastern Conference finals. That I will tell you.
Well, they were done at that point, right? The Knicks, Knicks fans and Utah Jazz fans are probably the ones who were
the most devastated.
And Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
Reggie Miller, another guy that I just love. all right, that's Blazin'. Listen, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Mag, it's a good segue. We're not going to break right now. We're going to quickly do the nightcap because also Blazin' is how about the start of the Vegas Golden Knights. Three wins straight over San Jose. I know the first one was the preseason game, but go ahead, hit it.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, the puck starts here, and I remember last Sunday, Mags, we were talking about San Jose, and we didn't think the preseason game, nah, they're going to take it easy. It won't be chippy. Man, the third period got exciting. Ryan Reeves cannot take it easy when it comes to any game in general, but especially the San Jose Sharks right now. There is such a chip on their shoulder with this team, and you could see it in the preseason game. It is something that it didn't cool off after the first round of the playoffs last year, Game 7, and that debacle call. It has only boiled over, and we see that right now. And I don't feel vindicated with these last three wins, but you know what? It does feel kind of good, right?
Well, you know, I mean, and you talk to the guys on the team, and they'll all tell you, look, last season is behind us. It's been behind us for a lot of quite a few weeks. For Ryan Reeves, he told me it was done three days after. It's like, you know what? It's done. It's over. Now we're focused on this season. You know, I expected a split in these first two games. I said, you know what? The Golden Knights will have a lot of energy. I expected a lot more out of the Sharks in games. I mean, I don't care about the preseason game.
It carried over, too. The Sharks can't win.
Well, 114 penalty minutes in a preseason game, and it cost Evander Kane the first three games of his season.
It was so cool.
But and Valentin Zhiekhoff showed he is a tough guy, and he's here. He's part of this
team.
He's
willing to mix it up.
Yeah, he's not afraid to mix it up. And, you know, even though he didn't play in that series, I think he kind of took it upon himself to get involved in the series, or the first couple games this year. But I expected more from San Jose in Game 1 and 2 because there's always another side of the coin. Right here in Vegas, all we've talked about was the fact that it wasn't a penalty and San Jose won the game because the refs gave it to him. But in San Jose, they've been hearing the same exact talk. Well, the only reason you guys won that game was because of the refs. You would think there would have been a lot more pride from San Jose to say, hey, you know what? We didn't just win this game in this series because of a blown call. We won this game because we were the better team. Well, I think the Golden Knights have shown these first two games against San Jose who the better team is.
This year, for sure.
I mean, let's be realistic. You take that penalty away in Game 7. San Jose may not score in Game 7. They may end up losing 3-4-0, but we'll take it out. Excluding that penalty, in the last three games the Golden Knights have played San Jose that have counted, they've outscored them 14-3. I'm sorry, not 14-3. 12-3. Three goals in game 7. I'm sorry, no, they did have four goals. So it's like, all right, maybe Vegas is better than San Jose. You take Joe Pavelski away from the Sharks, that's a big loss.
Neutralize Evander Kane.
Yeah.
You got to account for Bernsey. I mean, he is one of the best
Martin
offensive.
Jones, once again, pulled against the Golden Knights.
I mean, he is a guy. He is, in my opinion, and I said this before, like people keep saying, Martin Jones has this upside. He's going to be more consistent. Martin Jones is what he is. There are nights when that guy is impermeable, and there are also nights where he is a sieve. He is a streaky goaltender. In basketball, there are streak shooters. In hockey, there are streak goaltenders. He is maybe the epitome of a streak goaltender in the National Hockey League right now. Sometimes that guy just amazes me, and sometimes he's terrible. But the one thing is, Mags, a couple of things that I take out of these couple of games. How nice was it, number one, to see Cody Glass get his first goal in his first ever game? And boy, is he playing well. And number two, Marc-Andre Fleury still looks like there is gas left in the gas tank.
Well, yeah. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury, I think he probably came into this season with a chip on his shoulder as well, right? Because he's the guy who he gave up those goals on the power play. He gave up that game-winning goal to Barclay Goodrow in overtime. Even though he's a quiet guy, he's not a very loud, boisterous, kind of flashy guy. He has a little bit of that, what's the word I'm looking for?
Moxie.
Well,
the swag.
Yeah, he's silently carries
a quiet confidence.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great guy to talk to. He's funny. He's hysteric. Like, you talk to him, and he makes you laugh. But when he puts that mask on, it's
an
almost,
alter. It's an alter ego.
Yeah, it's almost like he turns into.
It's an alter ego. He's the Hulk.
Yeah, I mean he is like a superhero when he puts that mask on.
I told you
he's a completely different guy on the ice as he is off the ice.
I told you, you know, Caleb, if you didn't hear last year, one of the coolest stories ever. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury was more accommodating than you were when you played for UNLV, and you were pretty accommodating.
Debatable.
Oh, my God. Here we go. So it's always about you.
It is.
But the thing is, what I would say is, Marc-Andre Fleury, one of the best stories I have, and I've told this many times, one of the coolest things. Last year, before game one of the Stanley Cup Finals here at T-Mobile Arena, we were out at City National for their last practice before they went out. And that morning, you know, we go out there, we get interviews, and Marc-Andre's sitting by himself. Well, I don't know this because I don't go to nearly Mags's like at every practice. I don't go to all of them. So I see, I'm like, what a great opportunity. I'm going to go up and talk to Marc-Andre Fleury. And he goes to me, I walk up to him, he goes, hey, I'm not allowed to do the interviews during practice. He goes, but I'll talk to you after the game tonight. And I go, after you guys win. And he puts a smile on his face. He goes, I hope so. And that was it. It was really cool. So anyways, we go to the game that night, and of course that's the only game the Vegas Golden Knights won in the Stanley Cup Finals was game one. And I'm standing in the locker room, he's got an absolute, you know, scrum of people around him, the media scrum is all around him. Marc-Andre Fleury leans over to his right, he sees me standing there, and he beckons, and I come over to him, and he goes, hey, I owe you an interview. And there's all these people standing around, I mean, I'm flipping nobody. And he literally stops everything and gives me like four questions unimpeded, and I thought, oh, my God, man, how incredibly cool that I was wearing the same thing I wore that morning, so that helped him remember me. But regardless, how cool is that?
Cool. That's pretty cool. Did you choke and ask stupid questions, though, with the four that he gave
I me? Hope not. I don't remember, but I surely hope I didn't. But,
no,
but
that's a great story,
but the cool thing is it was really, you know, it is completely the opposite of the great story that I have about Bill Laimbeer.
Yeah, when you had burgers or buffalo?
Bill Laimbeer was spitting wings all over me in the locker room, so it was a little bit better than when I got spit on, but no, what a great incredible dude. And I look forward. I think the Golden Knights are better this year than they were last year, and I really believe this team has a legitimate chance to go all the way this year. I think if they can put it together, Gerard Gallant mixes up the lines properly. They have such a good mix of players. They don't lose guys to waivers when they send them down to the AHL to Chicago, because I'll tell you what, there are some serious decisions to make as guys get healthy, as Alex Tuck comes back, Cody Eakin comes back. There are some serious decisions to be made by Gerard Gallant, and we'll see what happens when that time comes. Listen, Mags, let's go to break. On the other side, we'll come back. We were definitely falling behind. We'll get everything. I want to talk some UNLV football. And also, we've got S and B with C. That's all about the silver and black with Caleb Herring. We'll be right back.
I mean, I wouldn't say we're down. We just need a click, you know. We're not down. We're not sad or anything. We know what we can do, and we know how close we are, and we know how many little plays we are away from making that happen. So I just say we're disappointed in ourselves, and we know we can do better, and we're going to work harder, and we're going to come back. And we're going to do better.
Now, Caleb, yesterday, UNLV last night did not look good. I mean, they're defensive. Now, defensively, I'll take that back. Defensively, they played well. 17 points given up in the first half, but first quarter, really, really well. I thought defensively, I thought that at one point in time, when we just talked about it during break, Boise went for a fourth down. I think it was about fourth and two, and they were at their own 42-yard line. I thought it was kind of a slap in the face to UNLV, and it seemed to me that defensively, UNLV used that to motivate themselves, because Boise State can definitely put points on the board. They are an offensive-minded football team, and UNLV knew that coming in, and I thought they really, really played well. I thought on the edge, other than early, they played well. I thought the defensive backs played well. In particular, Jericho Flowers, I thought, had a really good game. I thought, other than a bonehead penalty, Javon White played really well yesterday. And there was some more sure tackling. You didn't see people getting to the second level as often as you do normally in the running game. They seemed to shore that up a little bit. But transversely, offensively, as we talked about, Kenyon Oblad, Las Vegas native, throwing the ball 55 times, even though I think he broke every passing record in high school, You don't want this kid in his first start throwing the ball 55 times.
No, there needs to be more balance than that. And disclaimer for all of this, Boise State is number 16 team in the nation. They're a formidable opponent, and I don't know that many teams will beat them. There's not too many teams in the Mountain West, let alone in college football, that would beat Boise State. They're a good team, and they have a solid defense.
I think Boise State and Hawaii would be a fun game.
It'll be a shootout. Looking at the way Boise lines up, I think that they could beat Hawaii because they can get pressure on the quarterback without blitzing. That front four is dominant up front. They blitzed maybe twice or two or three times throughout the night, but they were pressuring Kenyon like as if they were blitzing.
Especially at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's a luxury to have as a defensive coordinator. Yeah. So Boise's a solid team. That's the disclaimer. That being said, there are things that are wrong with UNLV's offense in particular that are in-house problems that need to be fixed. And most people around the Valley would have said that it was the quarterback situation and pointed at Armani Rogers and needing to get Kenyon on the field, and that's how you'd see different results. It's not so simple. I mean, there's bigger problems as far as feel of the game and schematics and situational football that are plaguing the Rebels right now. There were, I think, in the first half, 4 third-and-2 situations where the Rebels jacked it up and couldn't convert on 3rd-and-2. Whether it be a fumble, mishandled snap, high snaps, all kind of stuff like that. 3rd-and-2, you have to be able to execute that. And their third down conversion rate was terrible to finish the game. And it wasn't like it was all 3rd-and-8s, 3rd-and-9s. There were manageable third down situations. The Rebels were punting. 3 and outs to start the game with out of the gate. So the defense, like you said, played well given what their offense was giving them. I mean, giving up 7 points. There was one drive, the first drive, gave up 7 points in the first quarter, and the Broncos didn't score until midway through the second. So, I mean, considering the amount of opportunities the Broncos had with the ball, that is a good effort, a valiant effort by the Rebels. But some of the bigger problems offensively are just kind of no real direction. I think the team has been built over the past 4 or 5 years to be a run-first team. And when you have your leading running back, who's top 10 in the nation coming into the game, only carrying the ball 11 times in a game. And before this game, he was averaging 15 touches per game. Way too low. I mean, he's a workhorse. He's got the size. He's got the durability. I know he was banged up last week, but there's no reason for him not to have more rush attempts. And it seems like the first half is where he gets the bulk of them, and that's outside of this game where they've had the most successes in the first half when they're balanced and using him first as their first option. But in the second half, he completely vanishes. And it's just play calling. I think it's a different system of play call. And I think UNLV is one of the teams that's not ready for the RPO. And I'm just going to say that right now. They're not running it, executing it good enough. It's too much guesswork on the RPO, and they've missed out on a lot of opportunities. One of the 3rd-and-2s that we talked about earlier was on an RPO. They ran an RPO on 3rd-and-2, and Oblad, being the freshman that he is, decided to try to throw it, and there's no throwing lane. So he pulls up to throw, and instead of handing it off to Charles Williams, who could have gotten the yards to gain, you throw an incomplete pass that gets batted down at the line of scrimmage. And those kind of things are backbreakers against a Boise State team
And they're strictly mental errors.
Yeah, mental error. And that's execution. You got to understand football enough to know that on 3rd-and-2, yeah, the coach called this RPO, but I'm going to lean on the run unless it's absolutely wide open on the edges, which it wasn't. And 3rd-down, now you got to punt. So, I mean, like you said, bright spot, UNLV defensively competed. And that's, they created turnovers. They got forced a couple of 4th-down attempts. And then that first one early was, like you said during the break, it was disrespectful of Boise to say we're going to go for it in our own territory and we're going to get it. And they did. But you forced them in that situation. You got 3rd-down stops. Boise wasn't good on 3rd-down either in this game. No, they were They were 3 for 10, I think.
Well, I think it was also defensively UNLV was bottling things up on the 3rd-down.
No, and they did a good job.
And defensively, they were using the word that I underlined in exclamation point here, execute. I'm thinking, and I asked after the game Gabe McCoy, I asked Jericho Flowers, and I asked Kenyon Oblad, the biggest issues, and they were all saying, stay the course, this, that, and the other. But the one thing none of them said, the Tony Sanchez, my message would have been, the word execution has to be the number one word. They've got the dedication. They've got the teamwork down. They practice hard. They do everything. They have got to learn to execute and be more proficient. And that is coaching.
That's coaching. It's calling the right plays for the right situations. I'm going to correct myself. It was 2 for 13 for Boise State on third down. So UNLV defense, we did a good job on third down.
That's a really good job. Very efficient.
That's a very efficient job on third down.
But one of the things, Caleb, is, you know, another mistake I saw special teams again. Jacob Gasser, I mean, this guy, I have seen him not call a fair catch maybe five times the entire year. And believe me, it's not that UNLV gets punted to that often.
Yeah.
And I understand he's very sure-handed. And I'll take sure-handed. But you cannot catch a ball at the four-yard line. That is a fire to the ball, poison, whatever your yell is. Get the hell out of the way and let the ball bounce.
So I will say this. There was a little bit of, I think, how should I say this? Their punter's really good. And he was dropping the ball in Coffin Corner and has a really high kick. And the coverage team was in position to potentially pin that even deeper. I agree. As a punter, as a specialist, you put your heels on the 10-yard line and you don't back up. If the ball's over your head at that point,
that's what you're trained to do.
The chances are it goes to the end zone.
That's right.
For whatever reason, his heels were at 5 yards. And so he took one step back and made that catch. Now, in his defense, I'll say, possibly avoided getting pinned at the 1 yard line or less by a defender catching that or stopping it at the 1 yard line. But I agree. It's a huge risk to do that and typically not taught that. He's sure handed, but I wouldn't count that as a mistake necessarily. But bigger things happened during that game. And I think one of the things that Coach Sanchez hinted at in the presser and after the game was a potential coaching change. And even during the game, when Coach Justice was sent up to the booth to call the play from the booth, he usually calls him from the sideline and continues to coach the O-line and all that from the sideline. He went up to the booth at halftime, and he was calling the plays from upstairs.
I thought he was calling them from the parking lot, to tell you the truth. I mean, that's what it looked like to me. If I'm being fair, who was calling the plays? Somebody was drawing them up in the stands.
It's those head-scratching things where top to bottom, execution of the game plan, execution of your identity as a football team. I think that's what Coach Sanchez was hinting at with the coaching and looking themselves in the mirror, was that they have to get back to who they really want to be as a football team. And that comes from him. He sets the tempo, and everybody else has to fall in line. And I think he's going to really try to reassert what he wants the brand of football to be. And if it's anything like what we saw the previous years, he wants to be a run team. He wants to be a run-first team with a running quarterback, which Oblad is not. There's times where it looked like he completely forgot that he's running read options and he has the option to keep it. He's just not a threat with his legs at all. And I don't think that fits the system.
I don't think another word, you can't use threat when you use UNLV right now unless you're talking about against them.
Charles Williams is a threat.
And yesterday at times, Darren Woods Jr. was a threat. But the most valuable player on this team when Charles Williams is out is Hayes Hickam. If you don't know who he is, he's their punter. And that's their most valuable. When your most valuable player is your punter,
I won't stand for
you're
this.
You're in a lot of trouble. Listen, we're going to move on. Let's do a real quick version of our B&C. It is the silver, I should say SB&C, the silver and black with Caleb Herring. The Raiders, you know, I started dissing on them. I picked against them last week. And they went into Indianapolis and won the game. They're now 2-2. They looked pretty good on the road in a controlled environment inside the dome in inside of Indianapolis. But again, I'm still not sold on this team. Today, as I mentioned, Khalil Mack back in town. He's in Oakland, but not to play for the Raiders, to play against them with the Chicago Bears. That defense of the Bears, Caleb, can be stifling, brother.
That's right.
Stifling. What do you see happening today?
Well, I mean, I see the defense being stifling, and I think the Raiders are going to struggle. Josh Jacobs, in particular, will struggle to get going against them. He's had a good season so far as a rookie, 370 yards and 2 TDs. So he's having a good season for the Raiders, but I think this defense really locks in and really shuts that down because they are the real deal defensively. And even though they have their backup quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky's out, Chase Daniels in, you can win football games with a backup quarterback if your defense plays
this way. I don't see much of a drop-off from Mitch Trubisky to Chase Daniels. I'm sorry, but I don't.
They're not going to win games. They're going to be one of those teams that if they have a chance of winning or getting to the playoffs or making it deep in the playoffs, they're going to do it with their defense. It's old-school football where they're going to control the clock and they're going to shut you out with their defense. Khalil Mack, who used to be a Raider, is playing with like a man on a mission. He has more sacks right now.
I think he's taken over this year for the best defensive player in the game above Aaron Donald. He's playing better than Donald this year.
There's no doubt about it. He has more sacks right now than the Raiders do as a team. He's a monster. And, you know, he's downplaying in the media that there's no hard feelings and the Raiders are trying to play. I want to just quick read this
quote. He wanted some of that $100 million of John Gruden's.
So Derek Carr says, and this is his quote, "I think both teams are winning the trade. I think you can get Khalil Mack on your team, you're winning. And if you can get Josh Jacobs on your team, you're winning. I think that's the best way to do it." So basically talking about the Khalil Mack trade, that the Raiders are winning the trade just like the
Bears. You know what that is? It's PC.
It's PC. You know, he wants to talk about how they're best friends off the field. He's going to be all over you like white on rice.
That's it.
And I think Derek Carr's going to be in trouble this week.
Mags, let's go to break. Call Mike Babcock. We're going to fly through the last segment of the show. We'll be right back.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
It's a fact. Conor McGregor says he'll fight in the UFC again, but he faces a judge and possible jail time first. And it's a fact. The past week, Antonio Brown acted like a belligerent idiot at a deposition and actually walked out. Shocking. This, once again, is Michael Babcock of TMZ Sports to bring the facts to light. What's up, Mr. Babcock? Tell me, Conor McGregor, he's not going to go to jail. He apologized, right?
Good morning, fellas. I mean, he could. He could. It's a possibility. You know, he punches this guy in the Dublin pub earlier this year. Obviously, we posted that video on TMZ Sports, and the police in Ireland said they were investigating this thing the entire time, but wasn't until we published that video that it seems that things really got moving as far as the investigation. He's loved. He's one of the most famous people in the country. They once talked about putting Conor McGregor on the money, really, and on the country's money. So he's beloved there, but he has, been charged with assault for punching that man in the bar. And he's going to be in court later on this month, and he is facing some time behind bars. Look, a lot of people, we know people, when they're charged, sometimes they face time behind bars, but there are things they can do. He can plea deal out of it, as a way to not get locked up. So I would imagine that that's probably going to happen. I don't foresee Conor McGregor actually going to jail, but he was charged with assault for punching that old guy in the bar.
Well, he's attacked a UFC bus now. He smashed a phone, and now he's attacking people. So what's next? Maybe he'll shoot somebody in the foot, and that'll finally get the guy jail time. Or, I don't know, but he'll be back in the UFC. I guarantee he'll get a fight no matter what. We'll see that. And real quickly, we've got about 30 seconds for you on Antonio Brown. He walked out of a deposition, and he went nuts again and ballistic. God, I am just shocked, right?
Right. If you thought Antonio Brown was going to calm down, get his life together, nope. Was that a deposition? He's being sued, allegedly threw a whole bunch of furniture out of the window of a high-rise apartment building that he used to live at. And in the deposition, the attorneys for the other side said that he was absolutely losing his mind, yelling, cursing, screaming, just could not contain himself, could not conduct himself in a proper way. And they were shocked. So Antonio Brown is still crazy.
And I'm shocked that he's still crazy. I know Caleb here just passed out in his chair. That Antonio Brown is in the news again.
It's sad. I mean, it's time we start treating him like a mental health case. He's just a millionaire version of mental ill patient.
The epitome of the saying, can't get out of his own way.
No, yeah, and I don't feel bad for him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making excuses for the guy because this is just unacceptable. I think he has his mind, wrapped around something, or maybe going through something that he really does need help for.
He's out of his mind. That's the problem.
It's
the 6 inches between his ears is all messed up, and if it doesn't get back together, we'll never see this guy again. Michael Babcock, TMZ Sports, appreciate you, brother, as always. Talk to you real soon.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. Okay, guys, wrapping this up, it is time for the NFL pick segment. As we get into this, Mags, we're going to let you go first since finally you got off the snide.
Yes.
You went against, I believe, was it the Atlanta Falcons who you went against last week?
Yeah, I'm going to go against them today as well. I'm taking the Houston Texans. Atlanta stinks. They just lost a key member of their secondary. Houston did not have a pretty good game last week. Not a very good game by their offense. I think they're going to bounce back at home. You know, they got to take a little bit back from the Astros, right? They share the city with the best team in baseball, so they've got to take a little back and get people talking about them. So I think they roll today over the Falcons.
Mags is going, and that is the Texans are giving up 4, and he's going to go with them and see if he can keep it going. I'll just give you mine real quick. I'm going exactly the same way. The bottom line is they call him Matty Ice. I call him Matty Dry Ice. Atlanta's terrible, and so is he. They're going down again. Caleb, who do you got?
I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. They're magical. They're great over Indianapolis at home after a great win last week in Detroit. Patrick Mahomes is my favorite player. Yes, I said it.
The Chiefs -11. And our guest in studio, real quick, Spencer for Damien, who do you guys got for our guest pick?
The pick of the week is the Chargers -6 over the Broncos. Even though Joe Flacco is having technically on path to have a career year, his average pass per attempt through the air is only 3 yards. The checkdowns aren't helping the Broncos win, and it's not going to happen again today.
I love it. That is our guest in studio, Spencer and Damien. Appreciate you. Chris Magnum Chapman behind the wheels of steel. Caleb Herring. I'm Brian Feldman. We also want to thank Michael Babcock at TMZ Sports for checking in every Sunday, 8 to 9, right here, Fox Sports Radio. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.